Thank you so much, ladies. You know, life is kind of like the starting of that special music. Things kind of don't go as planned. And you move forward by faith, trusting that God will sort it out. And He always does. Let us bow our heads as we get into the morning message. Loving Father, we thank you because you have given us life in Jesus, our Lord. We thank you that today we can come to you and be fed. We can come to you and be filled. We can come to you and be changed. And Father, we ask that we may not be content with yesterday, with last year, with last month, or even last Sabbath. May you fill us and move us and do a new thing in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. The God that we have is one who takes the initiative to be with you and with me. I'll say that again. The God that we have is the one who takes the initiative to be with you and with me. Bottom line, God wants to be with you, and He wants to be with me. I mean, we're talking about the King of all creation. The King of the universe wants to be with you. Wow. That's amazing. That blows my mind. We read in the Bible where God tells His people, back in the times of old in Exodus 25, verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may what? Dwell among them. In the very beginning, it was a little different. You see, man enjoyed open communication with God. God had told them, of every tree of the garden you may eat, but there is one little tree. Now that tree you want to stay away from, because if you were to eat from that tree, oh, bad things are coming. In the day you eat thereof, you will what? You will surely die. And sure enough, the immortal man that God had originally created became mortal, and his days did come to an end. But yet after that initial sin, we find a God who doesn't say, oh, well, that's too bad for mankind. No, we see a God who's walking through the midst of the garden, and He has a question that goes like this. Where are you? We used to be so close. Where are you? I miss being with you. I miss that closeness. Where are you? Wasn't that long ago in which everybody was wearing red and green and saying things like Merry Christmas, in which we were wishing each other these wonderful desires in light of the fact that the greatest gift of all had come, Jesus in the incarnation. He comes to this earth because His plan is to make a payment. What was that payment? Of His own life to save you and to save me, to get close to you and to get close to me. What's interesting is that this same Jesus, the one who wants to be close to us, we see Him praying at the closure of His earthly ministry. And He's at a place where all of His disciples were present, except one. And then there was three that were even closer to Him. And He's praying, and He's being crushed. He's being crushed because my sins are on His shoulders. He's being crushed because your sins are on his shoulders. And the sins of anyone who's ever lived or would live are crushing him. He's sweating drops of blood. And he's telling his father, is there any other way to save mankind? But not my will, but thy will be done. He's finishing this prayer session, and he's hearing the footsteps of Judas and the chief priests and religious leaders arrive on the scene. And the wonderful company that he had of the three and the rest of the disciples, they're no longer there. I guess they had something better to do. They weren't there. Why? Because maybe this Messiah guy, maybe he wasn't the one who we thought he was. Or maybe if we hang around too close with Jesus, we'll end up just like him. And by the looks of it, what we see isn't anything good, because this looks like this is just going from bad to worse. So before we get incarcerated, before we get killed, we got somewhere else to be. And just like Joseph, his brothers forsake him. I'd like to say that the progression of this story is that everybody comes back. But no, actually, it gets worse, because what we see next is how Jesus had told Peter already that before what happens, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times, he said. And what's interesting about Peter is that he's asked a question, and a question that goes like this: don't you know Jesus? No, that's not me. I don't know him. That's some other guy. I don't know Jesus. The irony of that situation is that Peter, a few moments ago, earlier, he's asked that question by a family member, a damsel in the chief priest's palace. She asked him if he knew Jesus. Why? Because you remember that guy who got his ear sliced off? Well, this was a family member. And family members don't forget. So she's like, I just saw you basically cut my cousin's head off. And you're trying to tell me you don't know Jesus? You see, I'm not worried about Peter knowing or not knowing Jesus. I'm worried if I know Jesus. I'm worried if you know Jesus. The disciples go on their way in fear. Peter, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane in anguish and prays where Jesus had just finished praying. And then we find the last character to this story. Judas not only leaves Jesus, he actually says, I know the guy. Yeah, he's the one that I give the smooch to. That's the sign. I know him. I'll get you close to him. Huh. Judas could recognize Jesus, but Judas wanted nothing to do with Jesus. You see, what was in Judas's plan was, oh, I know that Jesus, if he's arrested, he'll do like his Samson impersonation and get free. Because he is the Messiah. And once he is crowned the Messiah, guess who they're going to look at who was next to the Messiah? Oh, that's right. That's me. I'm the one with my picture in the paper. I'm the one with the plaque. I'm the one with the recognition. And yet he wanted nothing to do with Jesus. He betrays Jesus for how much? 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the equivalency of what somebody would pay for a slave. Wow. Jesus sold for the price of a slave. There was something that Judas wanted. The problem is it just wasn't Jesus. My question is, what is it that you want? Because to get what I want, I'm going to have to give something up. And for some reason, it always comes back to Jesus. Because when I want something besides Jesus, I only have one or two choices, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. It's either the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and what? Evil. Whether it was by the disciples who forsook him, whether it was by Peter who denied him, or whether it was by Judas who betrayed him. Here's the truth of the matter. Jesus ends up all by himself. So what does this have to do with communion? Very simple. Today Jesus tells us one thing. Don't forget. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget the one who has died so that you may not only have eternal life, but so that you may be with him. I praise God because our amazing God has never forsaken us. I praise God because he's never denied us. I praise God because he's never betrayed us. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 37. The Bible says, John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That is the word of God to you and to me. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. The Bible says, him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. As Jesus was by himself, and Pilate standing before the people, Pilate knowing that Jesus was an innocent man, a just and righteous man, wanting to set Jesus free. And the people said, let his blood be on us. And Pilate responded, so what do I do with Jesus? And they responded in one accord, crucify him. Pilate knew there was nothing else he could do. Though the Jewish nation, in rejecting Christ in this request of having their blood be on them, was not an act of grace per se, but rather it was one of rejecting the sacrificial lamb. But today, I recognize that I need the blood of Jesus. How about you? Today we can come to the Father in Jesus' name. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Somebody here today is in unrest. Somebody here today is wrestling with sin. Somebody here today has made decisions that they're not happy about. Today we can come to Jesus. Today we can say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Today we can come to Jesus and to know that he's still the one who wants to be with us. And to get rid of this sin, this thing between us and him, he has paid the price. I don't know about you, but I want to come to Jesus today. How about you? Don't forget me, he said. Do this in remembrance of me. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we practice open communion. What does that mean? That means that if you're a believer in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are welcome to participate in our communion service, even though you're not a Seventh-day Adventist. Before we partake of the sacred emblems, the unleavened bread and the unfermented wine, also known as juice, we follow Jesus' example of being, of serving one another, of humbling ourselves before one another, just as Jesus did. And so we have a couple rooms set up, one for the ladies, one for the men in the Sabbath, children's Sabbath school classes. We also have the Better Living Center, the building behind here that way, that is set up for married couples if you'd like to serve one another in this service of humility, washing one another's feet. This is the time to get closer to each other, because that's what the blood of Jesus does. It draws us to God and to each other. If there is something that we need to make right with the brother and sister, if we haven't done that already, it's good to do so now. And then we'll come back to this place and partake of the Lord's Supper. At this time, as we separate, the children's story will be happening that Sayuri will be giving. May we seek the Lord and seek our brother and sister in Christ. May the Lord bless us.